Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to Burden and Blessing, and we are looking forward to having you joining us for another special rendition of the Pastor's Round Table discussing social ministry and the divine call. We touched on this just a little bit in our last podcast when we were talking about how podcasting hurts preaching when we were analyzing that or reviewing that. And one of the things that was brought up in our last podcast was, you know, how this interacts then with the divine call. You have a pastor that's called to serve a group of people, and they're being ministered to in a social way through social media in a particular way. How does that hurt the divine call? So joining me to get some perspective on the divine call and some of the ways in which social media interferes or plays a role in that are, again, Pastors Neil Radical, Mark Tiefel, and Rob Sowers. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hey. So, Mark, why don't you get us started? I think you're the one that brought this topic up in our last podcast and brought out the aspect of the divine call related to social media. You think about how we were talking about sermons that are getting put on websites, some of the different podcasting that's being done. Is there a way that some of these forms of ministry that are sent out there for a wide audience, maybe even mission work or outreach, that they could have an impact on the call that another pastor has to somebody who's sitting in listening to your sermon on a weekly basis? Are there some dangers there?
Well, I think that it comes down to what we define as impact. If I put a sermon message out on social media, it's going to reach other Christians in other churches and other Christians in churches in my fellowship, and therefore it's going to have an impact in that way on the congregants of another pastor. The question really is that a positive or negative impact, and to what extent, and in what areas? That's kind of the question that we're working on. So I think there's definitely an impact when you put media out there for public consumption, and obviously we know that when it comes to social media, like our podcast here or like a sermon video, you know, there is responsibility on the listener that they're clicking on this to hear it or to watch it. But there's also a promotional side of social media, too, where I'm trying to get people to listen or watch what I'm putting out there. So I think when it comes to the promotion of it, that's where the concerns come in, is should I be promoting my message so that other people who are members of another church hear it? And so coming back to the word impact, what kind of impact would that promotion have? For me personally, I think that there certainly is a concern where I can have an impact that goes beyond my scope as a simple witness of Christ, where I'm now doing the responsibilities and the duties that that person's pastor is supposed to do or is called by God to do. That to me is where the negative aspect comes in, where I'm stepping outside of my calling as either a pastor or as just a simple Christian who's witnessing, and I'm now doing something that, you know, really should be done by that person's pastor. Now, when it comes to social media, I think examples of that happening are pretty rare. I don't think that when you post a sermon where you're sharing the Word of God or you post a podcast recording that you're doing that. We're not, you know, none of us here with our podcast are telling people specific things that they should do in their Christian lives that their pastor should be talking to them about. We're giving guidance and counsel from the Word of God, as we should be as witnesses of Christ. So I think for me, it hinges on that word impact. What kind of an impact am I having?
One of the things that we did talk about at the end of our podcast the last time was making that point clear to our listeners, that we don't want these podcasts to replace what they should be getting in their home congregation. And that's kind of what you're talking about there, Mark, that we're not the responsibility is in a lot of ways on the listener, not to say, okay, hey, you know, I've got these pastors that I listen to online. I don't need to go to church. And that we also try to be careful too, I suppose, as far as we're not giving direct advice. You mentioned that also, right? So if somebody comes to us and says, hey, you know, I've got this situation, how would you handle that? Rob, how would you respond if somebody came to you and you knew that they were from another congregation, said, Pastor Sowers, I've got this situation. How would you suggest I handle that situation?
Well, I think the key to all of this, where there might be a potential problem, is communication between us as pastors. You know, I think you start with, have you talked to your own pastor about this? If they haven't, then that's, I think, where you want to send them first, because that's their call. And they're going to do a better job with that situation than I'm going to do, because they know their member better than I do, or at least they should. So, and that's my assumption going in, that they're going to know their member, they're going to know the situation way better than I'm going to know it. If they have already talked to their pastor, then I'm going to ask, okay, what did he say? And because I think one of the dangers can come in is with somebody sort of going around and, okay, I don't like the answer that my pastor gave me, so let me talk to this other pastor and see if I can find the answer that I want. Now, on doctrinal things, that's not going to happen among us, but on things that are more matters of adiaphora, we are going to have maybe differences of opinion on some of those things. And that's where you can get into kind of a dangerous territory then. So I would be very hesitant to, I certainly wouldn't try to answer their question right away without finding out what sort of communication they've had with their pastor. And then really, I would want to talk to the pastor himself and see what kind of counsel he's given them. And then if he would say, okay, that would be just fine to speak to my member on such and such an issue or to bring them the word of God, then fine. If not, though, I think that's where you would cross that line in interfering with the divine call. That's a lot different, though, than what we do, as Mark mentioned already, on a podcast.
Neil, do you have any thoughts on that? Or Mark, you have a thought?
Play devil's advocate a bit with what Rob was saying. I agree with what you're saying there, but I think that concern has been given about, you know, well take the situation you're talking about where you ask the person first if they went and spoke to their pastor. What if the person is a friend of yours, for example, and they simply ask you a question about the Bible? For example, like, what does it say about when an infant dies without being baptized? You know, that question comes up with people a lot of times. If you're just having a conversation with friends and you happen to be a pastor, should you not even talk about the issue until you know for sure that they've talked to their pastor about it? I think there's some concern there about putting down a hard and fast rule of saying, I can't talk to this person about it. I can't give them my opinion until I know they've talked to their pastor. But I think we have to clarify what type of situation we're talking about, because I think there's a danger where we start to intimidate and put fear into our people that you can't really think for yourself or question things or ask people about things or discuss things. You need to always go through the conduit of your pastor. And that, to me, is the concern of where the divine call becomes more than what the divine call really is. Yeah. So I think we have to first define what is the situation we're involved in.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the key exactly, because it is going to vary depending on what sort of, I guess in the back of my mind, I was thinking about if something was a counseling situation. If it's a counseling situation, I think it is a different issue where, you know, the person's pastor should be involved. But yeah, a general question about God's word, yeah, I think that presents a different opportunity to maybe talk to somebody. And right, you know, you don't want to get so locked into, as you mentioned, you can't think for yourself. You have to go through the conduit of the divine call, because then we're getting into, I don't know, aren't we getting sort of into almost Catholicism at that point, where you sort of have to go through the priest? That sort of idea, we don't want to ever go into that. So yeah, it can be, I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe give me a different scenario, or I'm not sure. It is going to vary, I think.
Here's the scenario.
Okay.
So, to my knowledge, this hasn't happened yet, but let's say we're doing a podcast on this subject, and we have other fellow pastors who have members who are listening to it. This is addressing Mark's point with the outreaching impact in a negative, positive or negative way. On the one hand, I would want members that are being influenced in a God-pleasing way with any podcast they're listening to be growing in their faith. If they have questions on those things, of course, I want them to be able to come and talk to me about that. I think the negative aspects that Rob is talking about with the communication between pastor and members is that if we're using this podcast as an example, that maybe there are some pastors out there that are concerned or worried that something we might say in this particular podcast or any other podcast or social media that we're talking about, that they don't have a handle on what their members are taking in, like a diet of spiritual food or so forth. So I think the concern is that if they can't regulate what their members are being fed, they have concerns in general about whatever podcast it might be. But it opens the door to this. Rob, you were asking for a specific example. Let's say this podcast, some members hear this and then don't agree that what their pastor's point is that you shouldn't listen to any social media. So now there's a conflict between member and pastor there, and then those pastors come to us and blame us for teaching their members these things that they don't agree with. I think that's what we're talking about here, is really with that idea of the outreaching impact of Mark, what Mark is saying, will have positive or negative results depending on how the people receive that. And to Rob's point, is if those pastors are not open to communicating the questions that they have with their members or communicating with us or anybody else who's doing those podcasts, that's where you have the breakdown. I think the four of us are welcoming if a pastor has a question on our podcast, whatever it might be, as this example is, that they're going to want to communicate with us those concerns that we could properly address them and help them address that with their members, because we're not trying to lead their members into a more challenging or worse relationship with them as their pastors.
Mark?
Yeah, I agree, Neil. I think that's a valid point. And just two thoughts based on what you're saying to kind of build on that. First of all, in my experience, most of the situations that I can think of where I've seen this kind of thing happen, where one pastor feels like another was encroaching on their divine call, to my knowledge, they've all been areas of adiaphora, where it's simply, it's not that we're disagreeing on doctrine, but it's we're disagreeing on how we would go about applying that doctrine. And in that case, I think that it's healthy for a pastor to A, trust his members that I've given them the word of God, but I can't control how they practice their faith, and nor should I. And also trust that your fellow brothers in the faith, that your fellow pastor's not going to try to go above and beyond his calling. But if it's a disagreement in an area in adiaphora and a pastor gets upset about it, I think he should in a healthy way analyze why he's getting upset. For our members to experience multiple ways of applying the same doctrinal truth, I think is a good thing for their faith, so long as those things don't betray Scripture. And in the situations I think of, Rob, you hit on this, there hasn't been good communication where a pastor has a concern and doesn't talk to the other pastor about it, where it's like, what are we doing? You know, like, why are we so afraid of our members hearing the word of God from other people if it's not being taught falsely? And if we do have a concern, why don't we go and talk directly instead of just harboring anger and resentment? Those are the experiences I've had with these kind of situations. But like I said from the very beginning, I think these things are pretty rare. I haven't experienced this a whole lot personally. The second point I was going to make based on what Neil said is he talked about a pastor can kind of feel helpless if he can't regulate his members' intake of what they're receiving. And, you know, should a pastor be doing that?
Yeah.
Should I as a pastor be regulating what my members intake? Now, that's different than knowing that they're reading or hearing or watching something that is blatantly false doctrine. There, I'm not regulating. there I'm addressing the situation. Right. But should I be censoring every material that my member uses? Should I be? Should I read through every devotional they want to use as a family? Should I? Do I have to have a predetermined checklist of proper media that my members are allowed to use? I think we're getting legalistic when we start doing. I know, Neil, you weren't saying that, but that is part of the issue here. Is I think some pastors feel that they need to be the stop and check for all of their members' devotional intake, whether that's video, audio, or print. You know, for example, we're talking about this from the perspective of our podcast. This is an audio recording that goes on, and it's obviously very widely distributed. But what if each and every one of us wrote, each of the four of us here wrote a devotional book? And invited people to use that in their lives. How would that be any different right now than what we're doing with the audio? It's simply a different format. But I've never seen this issue come up when it comes to books, when right. it comes to devotional writings. We have several writings that we promote as pastors that are not written by our fellow brothers or sisters, and we don't worry about our members using that. And we usually use the guideline, you know, take what is good, reject uh-huh. what is wrong. Why can't we do that with video and audio too? Is kind of what I wonder.
That's a good point. Neil?
So do I understand you correctly, Mark? You're saying a pastor's role and responsibility is not to censor the members' material for them, but to teach them how to censor the material? Is that what you're saying?
I think so, yeah. I would approach it as part of equipping the saints. I'm not here to set down every hard and fast rule that my members have to live by. I'm here to equip them through the Word of God so that they can apply those basic principles and teachings of God's Word to the situations that they confront. I can't be with them all the time to be there to you know, watch over their shoulder. I have to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to be doing that through the Word. But, you know, here's the example. If I wrote a book, a devotional book, would that be a violation of the divine call?
And share
unless
it with
I just
other,
unless
other,
I just yeah. distribute it among my members,
right?
How is that any different than a podcast? Unless we are addressing specific people and specific soul care issues, how is that essentially any different?
Let's back up for just a minute, and I think that's a good analogy that a lot of people I think will benefit from. Let's back up for just a minute to the divine call. We use that term a lot. I wonder, though, how many people actually understand what the divine call is and what it actually means. Would somebody be willing to kind of give, first of all, what kind of scriptural foundation do we have or guidelines do we have that actually say this is what the divine call is all about? And are there times where there's a crossover or a danger of somebody abusing their role, their divine call, for somebody who's being served by somebody else? Does that make sense?
Well, let's take the first question first. Okay. What is the divine call? I agree. I think there's too many people that don't fully understand what the Bible is getting at when we talk about the divine call.
So, divine call. Anybody want to summarize what the divine call is? Neil, why don't
I
you
would. Go ahead. I was going to say I vote Neil.
Why are you picking on me? Summarize what the divine call is.
Yeah, what is the divine call? If somebody doesn't never heard of that term, you know, what are we talking about here when we're talking about this aspect of the divine call and how the divine call can be undermined based on certain person's actions? What are we talking about? What is the divine call?
I would understand everyone has a call from the Lord to be a witness of Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can do that in many different forms. They can do that on social media by sharing their faith, sharing Scripture. They can do that by speaking to individuals personally. The divine call, as I understand it, is a way that a group of Christians, such as a congregation, calls an individual to minister to them the means of grace, gospel, and sacraments, whether it be the Lord's Supper or baptism, that generally perform the public ceremonies of marriage and funerals, victory services for Christians. So there's a difference between a private witness for Christ and more of a public call, divine call, in order that the Lord has called an individual to serve a group of Christians in one way or another. You see plenty of examples of that in Acts with the divine call, about how the Lord specifically chose individuals for public ministry versus individual ministry.
So you've got a couple of examples in the book of Acts. Paul and Barnabas were called or set apart by the Holy Spirit in order to serve on the basis or through the congregation in Antioch. Going on to the second question, can you guys think of any examples in Scripture where there is a conflict, where somebody crosses over the lines of their divine call and interferes with the divine call of another? So I guess what I'm wondering is that a scriptural principle, or is it simply a principle that we have put into place because of 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order? It's more of a constitutional, this is the way we're going to operate with each other. Is it a scriptural principle, or is it just a wise principle, Neil?
I think I'm going to forget where the references are, and I should remember them, but I think there's two examples on both sides with Paul. I think Peter was generally understood to kind of be the main guy in Jerusalem, and yet don't we see Paul addressing Peter because he was kind of reverting back to the Jewish separation idea where you're not going to eat or fellowship with Gentiles, of those who are unwashed hands, so to speak. So you see Paul addressing in a public way.
But would that be interfering with Peter's call?
Oh, I was using that as a point. Okay. I think the point is that I think you can address, you know, Peter might have taken it as interfering with his call, but we're not given any indication of that. But I think it's an example of him stepping in to a place that wasn't necessarily his turf, so to speak, and yet addressing him, interfering with his call, so to speak, to say, hey, that's not a good idea, Peter. We shouldn't be doing that. And I think Paul shows that of other leaders, too, where he might have been stepping into their ministry, so to speak, to address the congregations that he's leading to, that they're supposed to be leading, to remind them what the Lord says.
Sorry to cut you up. You're saying that in that situation, because that's the one I thought of too. It's in Galatians, I believe, where Peter was playing the hypocrite there with the Jews and the Gentiles, and so you would say that's an example of Paul stepping into Peter's call.
I said I think it fit that situation. I don't think it's specifically addressing that.
Because I was thinking of it from the other side, because Paul had founded the congregation in Galatia. And here Peter comes in and starts doing this stuff that he shouldn't be doing. And I think Paul had every right to reprimand him. I look at it as Peter as a breach. But in that situation, we have clear false, not necessarily preaching going on, but by his witness, Peter was providing a false witness, and that was really the breach, you know. So,
well, I think the situation, I like the way you described it with Galatia, you know, and that idea that Paul had founded that, but it wasn't that Paul had a problem of Peter proclaiming God's word to them. He had a problem of how Peter was going about doing it. You know, so I think it's nice the Lord does give us that example to kind of show both sides of the coin. You know, it's like, yeah, where's the crossing the line there? And it always came back to the witness for Christ and the purity of the word and the actions of those who are serving.
I'm going to disagree with both of you. I don't know that has anything to do with the call at all. It is referenced in Galatians, but what Paul is referring to is a situation that happened in Antioch, and I don't think this is dealing with the call at all. I think this was that Paul was pointing out where Peter misunderstood what the gospel was all about. It had nothing to do with his responsibility for certain people, and Paul uses that in Galatians to point out what the false teachers were doing for them. So I don't know that I'd use that as an example of the divine call in the sense that we're talking about it. That would be my...
Well, I wasn't saying it was absolutely a divine call. You asked for examples, and I said that was one that came to mind. I thought that's kind of how Neil was saying too. I don't think that Paul was talking about the divine call either, but if we're looking for examples that are as close to what we're talking about as possible, that is one that comes to mind. But I think... Let's go back again. There might be some more discussion on this point, but I just want to emphasize, I think it's very important that we define the divine call, because I think that some people understand that term. When you hear the word divine, there becomes this idea that somehow this call is superior to all others, and as if only the pastor has a divine call. And I think sometimes pastors act like that too, where they diminish the individual witness of their regular members because they have the divine call. I hope I've never given that impression, but I've had members talk to me about their confusion with the divine call, and that's what they think the divine call means. The pastor is essentially a better mouthpiece or a better Christian sometimes than other individual members. Where, like Neil aptly pointed out, it simply means they have been called by the group to be their representative. And I think the reason it's called the divine call is simply because we're saying this comes from God. You know, something that's divine is something that comes from God. It's a reminder that this isn't just a man-made vote that this pastor's in the office, that this congregation is acting on behalf of the will of God and being led by God. So I think defining what is meant by the divine call is so incredibly important to this issue. And I think that there are pastors that are giving the wrong impression about what the divine call is, because I've heard it myself from some pastors within and without our fellowship about this emphasis on the pastoral call as somehow over and above other callings for Christians.
Isn't the key in this whole discussion, from what I'm gathering from all of you, is isn't the key really the attitude of the individual involved? If they're looking to get an answer that they want to hear, and they're reaching out to different people in order to try to find if they can either gain that information, or manipulate the system in a sense in order to find out what they want to hear, that's not appropriate. And I think we as pastors need to understand that we don't want to participate in that. We want to direct them back to their own pastor, let their pastor deal with those situations. At the same time, we shouldn't be concerned, especially in the fellowship that we share, that, you know, I'm glad to have my members participate if they're going to be on the road and they have the opportunity to go to another CLC church to listen to that person's sermon, go to their Bible class, whether that be in person or, like Mark said, through a devotion book that's written, or through the medium of a podcast or a sermon that's streamed online. What a blessing that we have that fellowship, that unanimity of doctrine, that we can be confident that what they're going to hear when they go to another church in our fellowship is going to be the same thing. And so isn't part of that the problem is the attitude of the heart? What are you trying to get out of that? Rob, do you have a thought?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think that's mostly the issue. It's the attitude of the people, you know, whether they're trying to get the answer they want, or it's the attitude sometimes of the pastor who wants to think of their call maybe better than it is. I wanted to go back to that question about thinking about any examples in Scripture about someone overstepping their call, and I can't think of one. But I can think of a bad example of people clinging to just individuals. Think of in Corinthians, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's where the Corinthians are saying, you know, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas. You know,
chapter one there. Yep.
Chapter one, yeah. So it's not that any of those three guys were exalting themselves up, but certain people were clinging to one person or another, and Paul basically says that's not right, and talks about how they worked together. And so then, to transition from, we've been talking about a lot of the negative aspect of it, let's talk about the positive. The four of us, we all have a particular style in which we do things. If you listen to our words of the week, They're different, because we all have a different style. We all have a different preaching style. And some of our members, our particular preaching style is going to work really well for. Some, it isn't so much. And I don't care who you are, that's going to be true. So what a blessing it is that there are these other places, you know, other sermons that people can listen to, our podcast. And, you know, the podcast itself is sort of a different style than a sermon that might work on someone, you know, better than your traditional sermon. I drive people to whatever I can get them to all the time, because, you know, I know that, and this isn't that I feel like I'm not an able preacher, I just know that, like anyone else, I'm limited, and people are going to get more if they're exposed to more things. I mean, we have such a wonderful fellowship in the CLC. Let's use each other. You know, we're all on the same team here. Let's use each other. If somebody can get something from listening to Neil that they don't get out of listening to me, great. Praise the Lord.
So part of this is learning styles too, and that's different mediums that you have. Just like in teaching, you have different people that are going to learn with one style that they're not going to learn in another style, and being able to take advantage of those styles. Neil?
And you had mentioned earlier too, it goes back to that word of pride. I think the way Rob expressed that, I would totally agree with him. It doesn't have to be about my call. It's my divine call to serve this individual, that individual. I agree with Rob completely. I think we try to serve the members that the Lord has, those who are all people. We want to try to serve everybody with the word of God. And if we can continue to figure out how to do that together in a humble way, and not like I'm the overseer, period, kind of ideal mentality that like Mark was talking about earlier, is that I think we're going to be a lot more better off and working together than trying to isolate each other from helping one another.
Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of come down to, we could talk about the division here, at least from the attitude of the pastor's heart. It kind of comes down to the two titles you often hear, reverend and minister. I would much more rather be preferred to be called a minister, meaning a servant, because I think that's the chief quality of the pastoral office, is that you serve others rather than reverend. I understand both terms can be used appropriately. I'm not saying it's wrong to use either one, but that, to me, the argument can kind of be distilled down to those two titles, where I think there are some pastors, sadly, that really relish the reverend status of being the revered one. And I think that can so quickly become a sin of pride, and probably most of all because I know it in my own heart rather than having to look at anybody else. But the last point I was going to make before we wrap up about this is I think it's sad when this kind of thing happens, when it really doesn't need to very often. Like I said, my personal experience with this issue is that it really didn't have to be, really doesn't need to be as big of a deal as it ends up being. And I think it's sad, really, because we pastors, we do the same thing that we're sometimes discouraging our members from doing. When we know that whenever we go to a pastoral conference or a study club, we have areas of casuistry where we talk about very personal difficulties and situations that were going on in the ministry that we're going through, and we get advice from other ministers. Because we know not everybody's going to approach every situation the exact same way. We've talked about the blessings of our fellowship, and it, what a wonderful blessing it is to be united in doctrine, but then also to have the freedom to be able to share that with one another in different ways from different experiences and perspectives. We benefit from that as pastors. Why would we give the impression or even outrightly tell our members that they can't do the same in their lives with fellow Christians? That's what really saddens me about situations like this, is it's almost like we want a piece of the pie as pastors. We want that blessing, but we want to kind of deprive our members from it sometimes. And I think that can be very dangerous. That, again, that only speaks from the perspective of the pastoral concern. We've mentioned the member concern, where you just go where you want to hear what you want to hear. That should be considered as well.
Well, thank you all for your time today. It's good to know that there are certainly dangers that are there in front of us, warnings that we should take into consideration, but also to be reminded of the joy of the fellowship that we share, and the fact that we are on the same team. We're working together to accomplish the same goals, and I appreciate the ministry of how the Lord uses you in the service of His kingdom, and what a joy it is to work together with you and with so many others in the service of our Lord, and for the congregation, the members that He has called us to serve. Thanks again for joining us today for Burden and Blessing Podcast. For more controversial topics, join us again next week.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.